I'm ready. Okay, good morning. Good morning, Randy. Can you hear us?
Good morning, I hear you fine. How am I coming through?
You sound great. Okay, good morning, everyone. My name's Julie Fedorchak. I'm the chair of the Public Service Commission. I call this regularly scheduled commission meeting to order. It is about a little after 10 on Tuesday, January 18th, kind of an unusual time for us to have a commission meeting, but we changed it in order to accommodate going to Fargo to participate in the governor's State of the State address tomorrow, which has now been postponed because he is down and out with laryngitis. So, but we've noticed it today and thought it was appropriate to move forward as is. Commissioner Chrisman is working remotely. I am in the office at the 12th floor of the state capitol. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Chrisman, just for your awareness, there's no media here today. It's just staff and myself in the commission room for the meeting.
So, hi. Okay, I don't have any opening comments either.
All righty. Very well, then. We have a couple items on consent. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you, Steve. Just one thing I will note. One of the items on consent that I meant to mention on the front end is we are approving the temporary transition of portfolios in the absence of a third commissioner. And so I note that for myself, I am taking on economic regulation of gas and pipeline safety and damage prevention. And Commissioner Chrisman is taking on economic regulation of electric and weights and measures. So all the portfolios previously covered by Commissioner Crosius have been divvied up between Randy and I, and we will maintain those until we get a third commissioner. And after that, we'll discuss the portfolios with our new colleague and determine the best way to distribute them.
Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All righty. Moving into the regular agenda, I have a few items. I move the commission adopt the order on motion for extension in Sunflower Wind Project LLC, Wind Energy Conversion Facility, Stark and Morton, case number PU-14-105.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. So Sunflower is an independent power producer and subsidiary of Onward Energy Holdings, LLC. They have made a request for an extension of the requirements for light mitigating technology, which were required by the end of last year, and they base this extension on the technical feasibility considerations outlined in the Century Code. Sunflower did not provide any economic feasibility considerations. They had that option under the law and chose to focus on the technical considerations. So prior to September of 2021, Sunflower testified they were fully committed to employing the LIDS technology, which was under approval by the FAA, and they anticipated that that would be done in time, or that the Vestas system that would have a single tower mounted radar system would be approved by the FAA in time for them to deploy one of those systems to meet the deadline. Also in September, so this year in September of 2021, Sunflower transitioned from the option of the aircraft detection lighting systems by Vestas, which was the turbine mounted radar system that was seeking FAA approval for a tower mounted radar design. Vestas has not received FAA approval for their tower-mounted design. Also in September of this year, or last year, 2021, Sunflower testified they transitioned from the LIDS system. They testified that they were aware that the commission had denied an extension based on a request for LIDS in May after determining that LIDS would not receive FAA approval in the foreseeable future. Sunflower testified that Technostrobe, the manufacturer of LIDS, continued to assure them that FAA approval would occur soon, and they felt that up until September of 2021, they'd be able to deploy that system in order to meet the deadline. On September 11th and 12th, Sunflower attended a local festival in Hebron and received 42 signatures from locals, local landowners, and others who do not live in the immediate area, and that was a petition in support of an extension for the installation of ADLS. On November 12th, Sunflower filed for an extension, and as of January 10th, Sunflower has selected Terma, a manufacturer of ADLS lighting, as their provider for ADLS technology, but has not entered a signed contract with Terma as of January 10th, 2022, which is 12 days after the deadline for deployment of the system. On January 10th of 2022, Sunflower testified that they have started the FAA application process but have not submitted the application to FAA. Also on January 10th, they testified that the permitting and regulatory filings and acceptance would be completed by February 5th of 2022. And they testified that commissioning and completion of the installation would occur by June 30th of 2022, at what time the system would be operational. The record also notes that 17 facilities using the same available vendors and under the same deadline were able to install ADLS by this December 31st, 2021 deadline. Sunflower had 4 years to install ADLS. Sunflower spent time waiting for the approval of LIDS and the VESTA system, which were not yet approved and still have not been approved. Sunflower knew that the commission denied an extension for LIDS 4 months prior to September, and they continued to pursue the LIDS option until September of 2021. Well, obtaining 42 signature petitions supporting the extension shows Sunflower took steps to engage those affected by a delay in light mitigation installation. All of the above-mentioned reasons do not equate to a technical feasibility consideration acceptable to the Commission to grant an extension of the December 31st, 2021 deadline, and therefore the Commission denies Sunflower Wind's request for an extension of the time to install light mitigating technology system at the Sunflower Wind project. I don't have any additional information. I think the record pretty much lays out the case for this, and we've talked about it extensively. I support this denial for all the reasons outlined in the order, and hopefully this provides clarity to the company that they need to move as quickly as possible to be complying with the law.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. My second motion, I move the Commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission Wagner Construction Incorporated Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-20-423.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. All right. The Wagner Construction is a domestic corporation in Bismarck. The complaint that the Commission received from MDU alleges that four violations by Wagner Construction occurred by failing to conduct its excavations in a careful and prudent manner. The excavations occurred in Minot in September of 2020 while installing storm sewer and resulted in damage to a 4-inch steel, a 4-inch plastic, and two 3/4-inch plastic underground natural gas lines. The damage to the facilities was approximately $12,600. No customers were out of gas due to damages to the two 4-inch lines. Two customers were out of gas service due to damages to the 3/4-inch lines. Let's see. Under the consent agreement, Wagner agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $13,800 with $3,800 suspended on condition that Wagner commits no further violations of the one-call law within 5 years of the date of an order accepting this consent agreement. Advocacy staff investigated the violations and believes that Wagner violated the Sentry Code in each of the four instances referenced in MDU's complaint. So this order approves this consent agreement, and I believe that this consent agreement is appropriate considering the significance of the violations, four separate violations on the natural gas system, really need to get the company's attention, and I think paying a $10,000 penalty is appropriate for that, and I do hope that they have changed their policies and improved their training so that no further such potentially dangerous violations occur with Wagner Construction.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and public service commission J.P. Hager Enterprises, LLC, damage prevention enforcement case number PU-21-338.
Second.
Excuse me. Thank you, Randy. On July 26th of 2021, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Otter Tail Power alleging a violation of J.P. Hager Enterprises, LLC of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 4923 One Call Excavation Notice System. On July 28th of 2021, the commission sent a letter to J.P. enclosing the complaint and requesting response by August 11th of 2021. On September 2nd, J.P. responded to the complaint. On November 1st of 2021, a consent agreement between the PSC advocacy staff and J.P. was filed for the resolution of this complaint. So the background on this case is, on or about June 28th of 2021, J.P. personnel began excavations while performing concrete installation in Harvey, North Dakota. There's no evidence of J.P. personnel contacting the North Dakota One Call Notification Center prior to beginning these excavations. No damage resulted from J.P.'s excavations. Let's see, the complaint alleges violations by J.P. of the Century Code by failing to provide an excavation or location notices before beginning any excavation. The Century Code states that except in an emergency, an excavator shall contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning any excavation. An excavation begins the first time excavation occurs in an area that was not previously identified by the excavator in an excavation notice. JP's September 2nd, 2021 response confirmed that it did not have a valid excavation or location notices prior to beginning its excavations. Having investigated the alleged violations, advocacy staff believes that JP violated the Century Code in all three location citations above. Under the consent agreement, JP agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $1,500 with $1,000 suspended on condition that JP commits no further violation of the One Call law within 5 years of the date of this an order accepting the consent agreement. The commission in this order finds that the penalty provision of the consent agreement is insufficient. So having considered this matter, the commission finds the consent agreement is not reasonable and is unacceptable, and therefore the commission issues the following. The commission orders the consent agreement between J.P. Hager Enterprises and advocacy filed with the commission on November 4th is denied without prejudice. I support this. I think that suspending $1,000 of the $1,500 of the consent agreement is too much for an excavator who violated by not calling at all for locates and had three violations. And so appreciate that they, you know, worked with our advocacy staff. But I think they need to get back to work on a consent agreement that is more in keeping with the nature of the harm in this case.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just a moment here. Okay. I thought I misunderstood something.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. Let's see here. My throat is getting really dry. Too much talking. I move the commission adopt the order issuing Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5965 in Dakota Natural Gas LLC, Natural Gas Facilities, Portland, North Dakota, Trail County, Public Convenience and Necessity case number PU-21-424.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. On November 4th, Dakota Natural Gas filed an application to construct and operate a natural gas system to serve the town of Portland and its environs in Trail County, North Dakota. On January 5th, the commission discussed these matters with DNG and commission staff during an informal hearing. We also issued a notice for opportunity for hearing prior to that, which had a January 3rd deadline for requests for a hearing, and no requests were received. During our informal hearing, the substantial record was established in the case. GMS, I gotta get that acronym. Greater Minnesota Synergy, which is the owner of DNG, and its subsidiaries have provided similar natural gas service in Minnesota since 1995. Dakota Natural Gas, which again is a subsidiary of Greater Minnesota Synergy, GMS, has provided natural gas service to the Drayton, North Dakota community and its environs for the 2020 and 2021 heating system, which was Dakota Natural Gas's first project in North Dakota. Since that time, Dakota Natural Gas has also provided service to Hillsborough and Mayville communities for the 2021-22 heating system. Dakota Natural Gas proposes to construct and operate a distribution system for the service area in Trail County. The distribution system will begin at an existing point in DNG's distribution system near Mayville. The total cost of the distribution system is estimated to be approximately $756,000. Dakota Natural Gas proposes to supply the distribution system via a combination of 2-inch and 4-inch plastic main lines. The residences in the subject service area currently rely on alternative heating sources such as propane, coal, electricity, and wood. Dakota Natural Gas anticipates signing approximately 123 customers in the proposed service territory. At the informal hearing, James Murphy, who is the Executive Director of Trail County Economic Development Commission, and Sven Mickels, who is the Mayor of the City of Portland, stated that their respective organizations support the project and that the availability of natural gas would benefit businesses and residences in the area. There are no other public utilities providing similar service in the respective Trail County areas. So based on the record and having received no obligations, the commission finds that there is a need for the service, that Dakota Natural Gas is technically, financially, and managerially fit and able to provide natural gas service in North Dakota. There is no effect on other public utilities providing similar service. The proposed service is adequate, and in that it is in the public interest that the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity be issued to provide natural gas service to the service area in Trail County, North Dakota. So with this order, we had approved the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, allowing Dakota Natural Gas to provide service in the Portland area. And the following tariff will cover motion will cover the tariff to provide that service. Both of these are really exciting new developments for this area. It's a big deal for these communities to get natural gas service, both for their residences and for their business communities and industrial development. And This partnership with Dakota Natural Gas and the communities in northeastern North Dakota continues to grow and continues to be really beneficial to the residences and the businesses in that area. And near as we can tell and have heard from those communities, they're very satisfied with Dakota Natural Gas's service. So it seems to be a win-win for everyone, and I'm pleased to support this order today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just to clarify, this is for the town of Portland and its environs. We don't get to use that word very often, so I just wanted to make sure I said it.
Can't forget those all-important environs.
Is there any further discussion?
We've heard a lot from the environs in Mayville and Hillsborough that they really like it.
Kind of like alluvial valley floors, you know, not everybody gets to use some of these terms.
Oh. Is there any further discussion? Sensing not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I have a box of M&Ms for any staff member that uses the term environs today, and I hear it. All right. The second, my last motion, also related to this previous one, I move the commission adopt the order in Dakota Natural Gas LLC, Natural Gas Facilities, Portland, North Dakota, Trail County Tariff, case number PU-21-431.
Second.
This is the tariff update to allow for the same change. So on November 4th, Dakota Natural Gas filed a request to update its tariff to add new service area in Trail County. Dakota Natural Gas's anticipated customer count is based on DNG's review of the relevant Trail County communities. The expenses and usages are estimates based on similarly sized communities in Minnesota currently served by DNG's family of companies and on DNG's first project in Drayton, North Dakota, and its environs. DNG proposed to add the Trail County service area to its tariff, but it did not propose any other changes to its currently approved tariff or rates, and its existing terms and conditions will apply to the Trail County service area. The estimated value of Dakota Natural Gas's property for the Trail County project to be used and useful for the service and convenience of the public in North Dakota is $755,900. Dakota Natural Gas requested a 10% rate of return. As a small natural gas utility that recently commenced operation, DNG's request is a just and reasonable rate of return for the estimated value of DNG's property to be used and useful for the service and convenience of the public in North Dakota, subject to continued monitoring by the commission and the possible future adjustment once operations are established. So for the same reasons, we did also discuss this at our informal hearing, had a notice of opportunity for a hearing that also expired on January 3rd, related to the tariff and these changes. We didn't receive any requests for a hearing and had a good discussion with the company at our informal hearing, and have a solid record on which to base the approval of this order, which I'm happy to support.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Crispin.
Okay, I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-21-421.
Second.
On November 17th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided until January 1st for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No responses were received. The issues to be considered in the proceeding are whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery. Second, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent. And third, whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of MDU's tariff. On December 22nd, MDU did file some supplemental information. I'll get back to that in a moment. Under its generation resource recovery tariff, MDU recovers costs associated with generation resource additions approved by the commission, but not currently in the retail rates established at the time of MDU's last rate case. The rates being considered reflect projected costs through the end of 2022, so it's projected costs, related to MDU's Lewis and Clark reciprocating internal combustion engine units. The updated rates also reflect a projected over-recovered balance of the tariff as of December 31st of 2021. MDU states the effect of the updated rate on a bill for a residential customer using the average 894 kilowatt hours per month would be a decrease of 3 cents per month. The investments and associated costs of the Lewis and Clark reciprocating internal combustion engines qualify for recovery. Exhibit 5 discusses calculations and schedules relative to the unamortized balances of Lewis and Clark Unit 1, the coal plant, and Heskett Units 1 and 2. So staff raised concerns with these calculations and schedules, but acknowledge that since they're not contributing to the revenue requirement in this proceeding, and the retirements of Lewis and Clark and Heskett are not yet complete, this may not be the appropriate proceeding to establish the correct calculations and schedules. And that's where that December 22nd supplemental filing comes in that MDU agreed to further review and potentially modify those calculations and schedules in a future general rate proceeding or annual tariff update. So even though they're included in this case, both sides have agreed we're not accepting those calculations and schedules as part of this. The 3 cent reduction here would be a little more based on the over collection for the last year, but the reciprocating engine costs cut it back just a little bit. The net total that saves the 3 cents per month is about $62,000, and the reciprocating engine part of that was $28,000. So it would have been 4 or 5 cents without that. Would have been the decrease that would have been available from the over collection of last year. But all in all, I'd say it's pretty close on this rider in them estimating these costs. This is the point of having this rider so that we can balance things out and keep it precise.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission suspend the elimination of Quest Performance Assurance Plan and Performance Indicator definitions in the interconnection agreements and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Quest Corporation, PIDS and PAP, cancellation application, case number PU-22-20.
Second.
Under the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996, Quest Corporation, doing business as CenturyLink, is required to provide open access to its networks, facilities, and services to other providers of telecommunication services, such as competitive local exchange carriers. Measures known as performance indicator definitions, so the rest of the way PIDs, provide specific data about the quality of the open access provided by CenturyLink to those other carriers, and the performance assurance plan, from here on known as PAP, applies the specific standards or goals that the performance measure must accomplish. CenturyLink has filed an application with the commission for approval to eliminate the PIDs and PAP. The issues to be considered in this matter are whether the elimination of the PIDs and PAP should be approved, and secondly, whether all existing interconnection agreements with CenturyLink should be modified to eliminate the PIDs and PAP without the need for further filings or approval. So those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by March 4th, 2022. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission initiate case number AM-22-21 for the 2022 Garrison Phase 5 AML project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands and Public Service Commission 2022 Garrison Phase 5 AML project PSC case number AM-22-21.
Second.
So these next three motions, I'm just going to clarify now and give a little explanation. This is something we haven't really done in the past. We've kind of gone to bids, and when we accepted the bids was sort of the first time that maybe the commission and the public really heard about the projects that we're looking at for the year. And so this is just a little change we've made to, as we're approving the projects to go out to bid, to bring them up on the regular agenda and discuss them for a moment. So there's three different projects, all AML projects, and they'll go through them relatively quickly, but so you'll have an idea of what the plan is. On December 16th, the AML division met with me and other PSC staff to discuss the proposed projects for 2022. That'll be the case in all three of these. We did it the same day. The 2022 Garrison Phase 5 AML project is a remote backfilling project to stabilize abandoned underground coal mine workings along McLean County Highway number 15, just south of its intersection with North Dakota State Highway 37. And 37 is the one that comes out and interconnects with Highway 83 when you go to Garrison. Homes in the South Garrison Addition subdivision are nearby. Holes for this project were drilled in 2021 under the 2021 Exploratory Drilling AML project. Additional drilling will be done as needed. AML staff has estimated 2,000 cubic yards of grout will be pumped into these mine workings. Work is expected to be conducted between July and September of 2022. The estimated cost for this project is $765,000. This project has been approved by OSM and has received authorization to proceed. The AML division has ample funds to complete this project as designed. And by the way, I don't know if we've really discussed it, but the extension of the AML project has been approved now in Congress. And I don't even have those notes with me. It goes out kind of an unusual number, 12 or 14 years, something like that, well into the 2030s. And it actually reduces the fees on coal by, I think it was 20%. And there's a supplemental part of the program that is being done not with those fees from the coal, but with an appropriation through the infrastructure bill. And we're still waiting on a lot of details on that, but the program has, the base program as we're accustomed to, has been extended. And so that's exciting news for this program, because there are lots of these projects left to do.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission initiate case number AM-22-24 for the 2022 Exploratory Drilling AML project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands in Public Service Commission 2022 Exploratory Drilling AML Project, PSC case number AM-22-24.
Second.
This AML project will locate and characterize underground mine workings between public road, beneath public roads and occupied residences near several cities, including Beulah, Dickinson, Garrison, Noonan, and Velva. The estimated cost for this project is $925,000. We've completed projects at each of these sites in the past. This project has been approved by OSM and has received authorization to proceed. The AML division has ample funds to complete this project as designed.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And the final one, I move the commission initiate case number AM-22-25 for the 2022 Morton County Phase 3 AML project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands and Public Service Commission 2022 Morton County Phase 3 AML project PSC case number AM-22-25.
Second.
So this is a smaller project, but it has to do with a surface mine. And of course, those always tend to draw more attention because people can actually see what we're doing. This project involves backsloping and backfilling approximately 3,200 feet of steep high walls that are 20 to 25 feet high at the Youngtown Mine. It's an abandoned surface coal mine north of New Salem. On-site mine spoil will be used to reduce the steepness of the high walls. Affected areas will be reseeded with locally adapted grass species native to western North Dakota. The total affected area is about 12.5 acres. Work is expected to be conducted in June and July. The estimated cost of the project is $233,000. There was a previous backsloping and backfilling project conducted at the Youngtown Mine in 1990, so 32 years ago. However, not all problems at the mine site were addressed because of limited program funding at that time. This project has been approved by OSM and has received authorization to proceed. The AML division has ample funds to complete the project.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Very good. All right. So, while I'm reading the announcements, Jason can see if there's any reporters on the line who want to ask any questions. But so in terms of looking ahead, we have a formal hearing on Thursday regarding MDU's request for a financial incentive for their power purchase agreement. That is at 8:30 a.m. on Thursday the 20th. And we have an informal on Wednesday, January 26th with MDU on their renewable resource cost recovery rider. That's at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, January 26th. And then we have on February 1st a periodic information exchange meeting with the North Dakota Petroleum Council. It's been a good while since before COVID, actually, since we've sat down and talked with the industry about various rules and laws affecting that industry and looking ahead to the next session. So I think that'll be a productive discussion. And then we have the public input sessions on the NSB 2021 natural gas rate increase request. That's on February 2nd at 12 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Those are all online, so the members of the public are encouraged to participate. You don't even have to leave the comfort of your own home. You can just log in and listen to the company's presentation about why it needs the rate increases, and you can offer your thoughts and concerns to us, and we will take those into account in our discussions with the company about that rate increase. All right, that kind of takes us through the early part of February and the highlights of our schedule. Okay, we will take a brief recess and take questions from the media, if there are any. Do they have to do anything? Okay, no one's listening. All righty. Very good. Well, Randy, I assume you want to just continue moving ahead without a break. You're on.